You know, and so Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 9. Let me just start in verse 8. Okay, we'll go ahead and have you stand. We'll get you a little bit more exercise this morning. Amen. It's February. Don't give up on your New Year's resolutions yet. Okay? We can have a little bit more exercise. And in verse 8, it says, above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this opportunity to preach this morning. I pray that you'd help the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in the things that I say. Help me to be faithful to his leadership and to only say the things that you need us to hear this morning. I pray that you would help the Holy Spirit to work in each and every one of our hearts today to motivate us and to challenge us to help us do better in the things that you want from us in this life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I mentioned some in this morning in Sunday school about Thailand and about the religious practices there. You know, but one of the sad things about the what you observe in Thailand is the very temporal nature of the hope that their religious system gives them. You know, they do these things every day, and every day they must do them. If they don't do them today, well, today could be the day that the evil spirit comes to my family and takes my child's life. Today could be the day that an earthquake crumbles my home. And if I didn't do that today, I didn't say my prayers to the monks this morning. I didn't say my prayers to the spirits today. And in every day that they wake up, they're again afraid for today. I got to do it again today just to get the hope that I need to make it to the end of today. It's a temporal nature in the things that they hope for. And what a sad thing that is true. And it's absolutely heartbreaking to see it in Thailand. And it's so heartbreaking to understand that a lot of times they can't understand. I remember there's a guy that we had a chance to minister to. His name was Oud. If you say it wrong, it's camel. So Oud is camel. So, but Oud it was his name. And and he was coming to church for about a year there in Khon Kaen and doing really good. That year I was trying to encourage him to read the Bible and encourage the whole church to read the Bible. So I was actually giving them homework every week. I was about seven chapters ahead of them, and so I would give them, okay, read one chapter of the New Testament a day. I'm going to give you two questions to answer out of that chapter. So I stayed ahead of them, tried to get them to cooperate in, to participate in it, to have some activity more than just looking at the words. You got to put it into your minds and think about what it's saying. And boy, he was good at it. He was doing great. Every week he'd come in and he'd pull out his paper and he was ready to go. And then shortly before Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time, which they don't celebrate in Thailand, but we do in church over there because it's, over there it's one Kap Khun Pathao, which the day we give thanks to God, amen? So over there it's even better. But he came to me and I could tell he was broken and we went upstairs and he was talking and one of the first things he did is very, very startled me because in Thailand the head is seen as very sacred and the feet is seen as very profane. So for you to touch someone's head is very impolite in Thailand. To do that, to put your hands on somebody's head, even a child, it's very impolite to do that. But I sat down there to talk to him, and he grabbed my hands and put them on his head. I didn't know what to think. I said, well, what's going on? And so he opened up and he poured his heart out to me about an issue that he was having in his life. And I told him, I said, you know what? God is our hope. God is consistent. He is always there. That sacrifice is once for all. You know, it doesn't matter what comes in the future. Hey, we have to be, especially as men, we have to be consistent, steady, and go forward where we know what is right, and then our families will come along behind us if we can stay faithful to God. Right. Disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't see him for a couple weeks. Then a few months later, somebody had mentioned to me that he had gone to become a Buddhist monk. Because his wife didn't like the fact that he was going to church and trying to live a good life. You know, she wanted him to drink and to party and to do all the wicked things of the world. She threatened to divorce him if he didn't quit all that church stuff. So what did he do? He went and put his hope in something very temporary. You know what's even more heartbreaking to me than that? Is to see that there are people coming from different areas of the world, primarily the United States, and bringing something to Thailand. You know what? There's absolutely no better than what they already have. Thais are very animist, where they worship the spirits. And in the charismatic movement in Thailand is growing like wildfire. It is abounding, and it's just, they can have meetings, and they'll draw tens of thousands of people to come to these meetings. These charismatic meetings.
Right.
And what does that teach them? Something that's only temporary? Hey, if you want the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, it's got to be again tomorrow, and again the day after that, again the week after that. And yet, there's nothing once for all. There's nothing forever about that. Probably the largest Christian religion in the world, you know, teaches you that, if you don't confess your sins today and you die today, guess what? You're not going to heaven, going to purgatory. It's a temporary thing. It's not a once for all. But you know what the Bible teaches us? And so thankful for this passage of Scripture. He makes it very plain to us that what we have in Jesus Christ is once for all. Once for all. I'm certainly glad this morning that I serve a once for all Savior. And it makes me think of it in Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, it very, you know, popular psalm. I'm sure you've heard it before. There's been songs written about it. But I certainly love the psalm, and I kind of want to take a little bit of liberty today and read it to you a little bit differently. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, once for all, out of the miry clay, once for all, and set my feet upon a rock, once for all, and established my goings, once for all. And he had put a new song in my mouth, once for all, even praise unto our God, that many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You know, he gave us this great and precious promise, what God does for us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we trust in, that does exactly that. It pulls us out of that pit. It takes it out of the clay. And, you know, and everything that he does here is once for all. When he pulls us out of the clay, it's once. When he takes us out of the mire, it's once. When he puts our feet on a rock, it's a forever rock, once for all. Never do we have to go back to the pit. Never do we have to again stand on shaky ground. Never again do we have to allow the depression and the discouragement and the brokenheartedness and the old flesh to win and wear the pout on our face. Once for all, there should be a new song in our heart and even praise to our God. But hey, let me show you. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you some things about this once for all sacrifice that he made for us. First thing I want you to understand, that we are forever sanctified. Forever sanctified. He says, I've taken you out of the pit. You know, before we were born again, before we were saved, the Bible says that we were slaves to the devil, our father. And it says, the lust of your father ye will do. It's a promise of God. There's no way to escape it. It is a sure thing that as an unregenerated person, you will commit sin. You will serve the purposes of the devil. You will serve the purposes of the flesh. You will serve the purposes that are at enmity with God. But he says, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ once for all has sanctified you, has set you apart, has taken you from what you once were, stuck in bondage to sin, and pulled you out of that pit. You know, the world system, even the Buddhist system, the Catholic system, whatever system that is created by men, you know, the more that you struggle against that, the deeper you get into it. And I certainly can understand that. You know, I grew up in a good Christian home, and I was taught what was right and what was wrong, but I wasn't saved. Went off to the Navy, wasn't saved. You know, and after God brought me to my knees and helped me to understand that, hey, I'm doing everything wrong, that I need to acknowledge God in my life, I did. And so I struggled against the sin. I struggled against that old nature. I struggled with those things in my life that I knew shouldn't be there. You know, and I maybe got some victory with some things, but you know what? It kept me in bondage. Just like that mud pit. You ever gotten a mud pit before? Oh, boy. I went to Alaska back in October, and I drove around Alaska. Oh, hundreds, thousands of miles up there. You know, visiting different churches. Never had any problems whatsoever. Come back down here, go to Oklahoma with a van, and what do? I get it stuck in the mud. You know, and you, when you get it stuck in the mud, the more you try to fight it, the more you give it gas, the deeper you get. You know, it's like that quicksand. It's like that good old sticky mud. And the more you fight it, the deeper you get into it, the more you're trapped, and the more you're enslaved by that. And he said, but no, Jesus Christ, he put you out of that once for all. Once for all, he has sanctified you. Once for all, he has set you apart from that old nature. He's given you a new nature. He's given you a new man. He's given you the ability to not be in bondage anymore. Once for all. Once for all. Oh, sometimes we might dabble our feet in the mud again. But as soon as we understand, oh, my foot's in the mud, I can... and pull it right back out. Why? Because it was once for all sanctified. No longer does it suck me in and keep me there. I have within me the Holy Spirit. I have within me the forgiveness, the sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness that desires me to have a good relationship with Him. Desires me not to be in that. And it's, all I got to do is, like John says, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And do what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ makes us forever sanctified. You know what? It also makes us forever purified. Go back with me in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, sometimes I think that in Scripture we find, be ye therefore perfect as I am perfect. No, certainly we understand that we still have the human nature. We still have a sin nature. We are still going to do things that fall short of the glory of God. Even as saved children of God, we aren't going to live perfect lives. And sometimes we look at that word perfect, it means to be maturing and to be growing in the Lord and to be getting closer to what you want, what is to be. But not so with this verse. Here he says, when he hath perfected us forever, he has made us purified. Purified. Now, back to my escapade in Oklahoma. You know, so I was stuck. I mean, I was stuck. Amen. And thankfully, I called the pastor and said, hey, could you come help me out? I've destroyed the front lawn of your mission's house, and, you know, and I am stuck. Could you please come help me out? And so, of course, I had a trailer on the back of the van, and so he was able to come and hook up the chain to the back of the van and help me just get enough out of the mud to get out of the yard. And I was able to, and but thank the Lord, he did schedule me for a meeting right after that. So, the Lord is good, amen. The Lord is really good. But, you know, okay, so now the van is no longer in the mud, right? I'm stuck out of the mud, but you know what? Now there's mud all over the van. Inside the van, outside the van, on my shoes. My shoes are so corrupted and filled with mud and trying to get it out by myself that I have to throw the shoes away. I'm out of the mud. I'm not in the mire. I'm not in the clay. I'm not in the pit anymore. But you know what? The mud still sticks around. The mud is sticky. It sticks to us. And there's a lot of people that want to teach that this forgiveness, this Savior, this God that we serve, okay, He takes you out of that pit, but hey, he doesn't necessarily take the mud away. You still got that guilt. You still got that sin. And you got to come back tomorrow, and you got to take communion again tomorrow in order to get rid of that sin. Because you know what? You're still muddy. You're still sinful. And let me tell you something. No, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins, hey, it's once for all.
Amen.
He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. When he sees us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He does not see the sin. He does not see the corruption. He cannot see. Those things have been washed. We are washed. We're like snow, white as wool, clean, purified. No longer is there any sin that sticks to our account anymore.
Amen.
A lot of people that are very shy about preaching that these days. You know what? Every sin, past, present, and future, has been completely wiped away in the eyes of God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we stand on.
Yes.
And that's the great and precious promise of God. Not only does he take us out of the pit, he also takes us out of that miry clay. I mean, God had perfected the stain-resistant fabric a long time before scientists did. Amen? Anybody remember what happened to the tabernacle? Years and years and years, 40 years it went through the desert. Nothing would stick to it. Never did it get dirty. It stayed pure and clean and just like the day that it was made. Hey, you know what? That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our life. That no longer does any sin stick to me anymore. I've been sanctified. I've been purified. I've been cleansed forever. You know what? I'm also forever justified. Verse 17, it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." You know, I kind of think about it sometimes as a relationship between a husband and wife. I mean, it is, I guess, is a good relationship to consider. I mean, God does, you know, tell husband in Ephesians that, you know, love your wife like you love yourself, and love yourself, you know, love your wife like God loved the church and gave himself for it. So certainly there is a love relationship between a husband and wife, and there's a love relationship between God and man. And you know, sometimes I think about when something bad happens in marriage. Say I say something stupid. That happens. You know? You know, it happens. And you know, I'll tell you this. Guys, never do this. Okay? This is good advice. Learn. Never show a girl an engagement ring without a diamond. Okay? Doesn't work well. It makes her pretty upset. Right? You mean, she's not happy to see that. She's confused. What, are you serious or not? What's going on here? I don't understand, you know? What's going on? And so you might be able to talk yourself out of it, right, that night, and, you know, use some pretty words and, you know, go ahead and propose and get you out of it. But you know what? That memory is always there. You know, been married for 20 years and, you know, do something stupid again and your wife thinks, oh no, another one of these ring things. Oh, help us. What's going on now? You know, but some of us think about God that way. Oh, but I did that. Yeah. He would never use me. He couldn't really put my feet on a rock. He couldn't set me up. He couldn't allow me to actually do something useful for him. Why? Because I know what I did. I know what was there. I know what was in my past. And he says, no, I will remember them no more. That blows my mind. I don't understand how that's possible. A God that is omniscient, knows absolutely everything there is to know, can forget about something. But it's an absolute promise of God that he says, I will remember it no more. I put your feet upon a rock. A rock that cannot shake. A rock that cannot be moved. A rock that is not weathered by the storm. That is not washed away in the storm. It's not washed away by the bad things that happen in life. It's a rock. It's steady. It's unmovable. It's unchangeable. You're just as if you had never sinned in my eyes. And that's once for all. Once for all that He does that. No more will He remember our sin. It's not going to happen in the future that I go to Thailand and it mess up and then God says, Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. No, I might mess up. Might create some problems in my life. Might create some separation between me and God. It might create some difficulty for me. But you know, God only thinks about the here and now. He's only thinking, hey, what is standing in between you and me? I want to have the relationship with you. I want to wash it all away. I'm not holding anything against you. I'm not saying, oh, it's just a part of your nature, and you're going to do it again tomorrow, just like you did yesterday. God says, no, I remember it no more. You know, a lot of religion is built upon that idea. Because they know what you're going to do. You know what? So they take advantage of it. They take advantage of it. You know, that's the reason that you can pay to have that sin forgotten. What? God says it's already forgotten. Once for all, it's forgotten. He's justified. Once for all, He set your feet upon that rock. Once for all, He said, you know what? You're there. And I think about setting your feet upon a rock. I think about, you know, statues. And most of the times, statues are put on some kind of, you know, rock foundation, right? That are set up. And you think about the Statue of Liberty. It's built upon a rock foundation. Amen? You think about, God says, no, in my eyes, you are my child. I can put you on that rock and look at you the same today as I did yesterday, same as I always will. Why? Because once for all, you've been justified. Once for all, your sins have been wiped away. Oh, but I love this. And I have to be illiterate, right? Not illiterate, illiterate. There's a difference. Preachers are illiterate, not illiterate. So you're forever sanctified and forever purified and forever justified. Let me tell you, you're also forever set down beside. Forever set down beside. You know, it rhymes at least. Amen. Maybe I am illiterate. But look at me in verse 12. It says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know, this one that I trust in, this one that I put my faith in, this one that I've accepted his sacrifice for my sins, this one that I have put my belief in for eternity. He also made me a promise in John chapter 14. It says that where I am, there ye may be also. Where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. So, trusting in him, once for all, I'm brought nigh to the King of Kings. I'm brought nigh to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm brought nigh to God the Father. I can sit right down beside and have an intimate and meaningful relationship with the God that created me. Which, by the way, that's what God created man to do in the first place. You know, certainly our sin nature makes that impossible. But once our sin nature has been washed away by that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He says, you know what? You have eternal access right to me. Face to face, right to me. He tells us, you know what? Go ahead and come boldly unto my throne. Why? Because you're my child. I've purchased you. Once for all, I have broken down that wall of partition, that wall that separated between you and me. That sin, it's gone. It's forever gone. Never will I erect a new wall. Never is there going to be a new barrier there. Forever there is something, there is access to God the Father. You know, a lot of people would teach you that, you know, well, if you don't live your life right, you lose access to God. You lose access to the spirits. If you don't offer them some food and drink, and I don't know what it is about the spirits in Thailand, but they love Fanta. I mean, a lot of times I talked about that, the offering that they give to the spirits, you'll see a can of Fanta there. I asked him one time, I said, so do the spirits eat it? Or is it the cats? Oh, the spirit's in the cat. I'll leave that one alone. There's a spirit in cats, but I wouldn't say it's the spirit of God. But hey, reality is that, you know, if I need access to my Heavenly Father, it is always open. Now, the reality is that I can allow things in my life that create a separation between me and God. You know, Isaiah chapter 59 makes it very plain. And he says, but your sin, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, but your sin, your iniquity has separated between you and your God. It's created a barrier. It's created something that is blocking us from the relationship that we need to have. You know, and let me reassure you that God says, you are forever given the authority to come to me. And I'm standing right here in the same place with my arms still wide open like they always have been, like they always will be. And why are you so far over there? All you got to do is turn around and come this way. I'm right where you left me. But there's nothing preventing us from turning around and coming back. You know, so many people haven't figured that out in marriage yet. Why do you think there's so much divorce?
Right.
Oh, they did something, I just can't get over it. Why do you think so many people divorce themselves from church?
Right. Sure.
When you meet people, knock on their doors, oh, I'll never go down to that place again. Why? Don't you understand that God's, no matter what happens, He's right there waiting for you to come right back with His arms wide open. Hey, you're forever given the opportunity to sit down right beside the King of Kings. The one that loved you. The one that saved you. Isn't this some exciting thoughts? Amen? I'm forever sanctified. I'm forever purified. Forever justified. Forever set down beside. Well, then why does my face not look like it? Amen? That's what the psalmist says. You know, he's forever taken me out of that pit. He's forever taken me out of the miry clay. He's forever set my feet upon a rock. He's forever established my goings, given me clear direction, given me all the information that I ever needed in life. And yet, I'm miserable about it. You know, I go to the gas station and pump my gas, and that person taking forever. And they finally get done. Because that's the only pump that has a diesel pump. And I just have to sit around and wait until they're done. And they finally get done, and I pull up and slam on the brakes and slam the door and give an evil look. And what's that about? Wait. Did God not forever sanctify me? Help me to escape hell?
Yes, sir.
Did God not forever purify me and take away every stain of sin that was applied to my account? Did God not forever justify me and make me like I'd never sinned before? Did God not forever set my feet upon a rock, establish my goings? Did He not do so much for me? Why do I not have that forever song in my heart? What's wrong? What happened to that? What's the point of this? What's the point of this sermon? Is it just to try to make you feel good about, you know, all the great things? Well, certainly I hope you feel good about all the great things that God has done for you. I really do. You know what? Go back with me to Psalm chapter 40, or Psalm 40. Why does God want us to know these things? Why does God want us to be sure about these things? Why does God care that we understand that? Why does God care that you were reminded about these things that He has forever done for you once for all? Verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's why. Because if I want Thai people to trust in the Lord, they've got to see a Jesus in me that has forever sanctified me, that has forever purified me, that has forever justified me, that has forever helped me to have a close relationship with Him, and that has put an everlasting song in my heart, an everlasting difference in my life. There's something different there than there used to be. I'm not like I used to be. There's a change. You know, in living these things, believing in these things, using these things to praise our God, that's what helps people to come to understand and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, I can preach at them and preach at them and preach at them and preach at them in Thai. And I can get red in the face and sweat and scream and yell and get spit all over and get all, you know, just give them the hardest preaching they can handle. And they look at you like, what's that crazy American doing? What's that? You know, they don't know what they don't know what preaching is. Nobody ever does that to them. The Buddhist monk says, "Oh, whatever you want." But yet, when they see in your life that there's something real there, hey, you know, there is a difference there. There's something different about that person. The government officer that we were working with, teaching English to her and her grandchild, you know, for 5 or 6 weeks. Finally, one day comes to class and says, "Why do you guys do what you do?" Why did she ask that question? Hey, because there was a new song in her heart. God put a new song in my heart. How did God put that song in my heart? Hey, because I trusted in Him. Now let me ask you this morning. Do you have the confidence in Jesus Christ that the psalmist did, that the writer of the Hebrews did, that once for all applies to you? Do you have that confidence today? Or do you stand on shaky ground? Do the storms of life cause you to doubt and cause you to wonder, cause you to think, I don't know if that's real or not? I remember there. I've been there before. You know, I grew up with all this knowledge right up here in the head about what the Bible says about how to go to heaven. And I could even, you know, quote you the King James Version scriptures and lead you to the Lord. But yet inside, it was still shaky. Inside, there wasn't a confidence that it was once for all. Inside, it was turmoil. Inside, it was doubt. Inside, it was insecurity. But let me tell you, I do remember the day that I did call upon Him to save me. And let me tell you something, forever different. Have you ever tasted of that forever assurance? That's the assurance that comes with true biblical salvation. Because it's eternal life. He's not going to take it back. He's not an Indian giver. If you haven't tasted of that, perhaps you haven't trusted in the Jesus and the sacrifice that can give it to you. Let me ask you this morning, perhaps you remember a time when I know what you're saying is true. What you're saying is absolutely true, but you know, it's been a while since it's come out as praise on my lips. It's been a while since it's come out in such a way that somebody else has said, I want to trust in your God. Why would we go to Thailand? If to help people understand the once-for-all sacrifice that Jesus made. Amen. And if I'm not living it, if I'm not displaying it in my actions, and if I'm not displaying it in my life, that they can see that, hey, you know what? There is something enduringly different about this person. They're not going to want to trust in the God that I serve. They're not going to want to trust in the God that I'm trying to offer them. So what is it this morning? Have you been covered by that once-for-all sacrifice today? If you have, when's the last time that living that in your life has made the difference in someone else's life? That's what missions is about. Why? Because there's billions of people in this world that don't have that assurance.
That's right.
Sure. Thai people think that, well, when this life is over, I'm going to have to do it again. And perhaps, you know, if I've done good, I'll get to do it again in a palace instead of a tin shack. Or perhaps if I've done bad, I'll have to do it again in the sewer as a rat instead of in a tin shack. But it's going to have to be repeated. You know, there's no escaping this. And that's why I told you that last sign that says, knee, you can escape, you can run, but there is no escape. Hey, you know what? No. There is an escape. It's Jesus Christ, once for all. Is He your once for all this morning?